Board of Supervisors will reconvene. We are at item 6A, U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service. So he's going to lead that.
Mr. Chair?
Yes, Supervisor Chris.
I've been at 7:50. I was on the road, so I missed the email. By Viola Randall reached out to me wanting the Zoom link, so I just wanted to confirm that that was taken care of and you're all set.
Correct.
So,
yes.
We're good?
I responded, yes.
Thank you.
Okay. Right. Oh, yeah. You want to text and drive.
Good morning.
Good morning. My name is Mike Gillum. I'm the president, current president anyway, of the Climate Spring and Offer Club. You have a white paper in front of you here regarding the history and or some of our issues and problems. Before I go too far, I want to tell you that I have an error on that white paper. I found out at 7 o'clock last night that I was told that if there was a repayment of the monies that went out on the warranty deed, if that was repaid, then this property could go back into a commercial situation. You could graze, you could do crops. That's wrong. I was contacted by Allison West from the Department of Agriculture last night, and this warranty deed is a permanent and in perpetuity deed. The only thing that can be done with this property at this time and in the future is going to be on a wetlands reserve situation. We've tried to sell this property for the last 3 years. We've had three different landowners come forth and wanted to buy it, check in hand, 15-day escrow, the whole thing, but with no water and with the warranty deed situation the way it is now, they could not do so. I contacted California Waterfowl. They kind of laughed me out of the room. They said, we're not doing anything in the Klamath Basin of this magnitude until the water situation here is got more clarification, which I'm so sorry, you guys. This is a mess, and it has been for years, and I don't know if it's ever going to get any better. But at any rate, we can't use the property for anything else at this point. We tried. We eventually had a board meeting or a general meeting where it was voted on to sell this property. It was 84-3 to sell, so we started at that point. I started at that point trying to try to get somebody to buy it. I eventually got Mr. Rosen here, got a hold of Viola Randall from Federal Fish and Wildlife. They made an offer. We had an appraisal done. They made an offer for the full appraisal price. They were the only game in town. We have an aging population in our membership. I'll be 81 in a few months, and I'm one of the younger ones. So these guys are not hunting anymore. I'm dealing with widows and grandchildren and everything else trying to figure out where the ownership of this corporation is at this point. We don't have much more that we can do other than what we are doing as far as the sale of this to the Federal Fish and Wildlife. Our easement deed was in place in 2005. Your resolution was 2013. Had we known, and I spoke to Viola Randall this morning, and she said that in 2013, the Federal Fish and Wildlife got in contact with the then president, who is now deceased, and made an offer to perhaps buy the place. Hunting was really great then. We had lots of water. There wasn't any issues. That thing fell through. Had we known there was going to be an issue like this or with the resolution, we would have sold in 2013, and I wouldn't be here with this issue today. We're stuck, and I don't know what else to do. I've been trying for 3 years to sell it, and I don't know where to go. I'll be happy to answer any questions you folks may have, but, I don't know what else I can do. I've exhausted everything I know how to do.
So is U.S. Fish and Wildlife here as well?
Yeah.
And did you want to give us any info from your side?
Sure, yeah. Thanks for the, I guess it's still good morning, everyone.
Yes, good morning.
My name is Ken Griggs. I'm the acting refuge manager for Klamath Basin Refuge Complex, which Lower Klamath National Wildlife Refuge is the refuge that surrounds the club's property. Lower Klamath surrounds it on about three sides. If you were out there on the ground, you wouldn't really be able to tell where refuge stops and where the duck club begins. It's a big wetland complex when there's water on it. And our hope in purchasing the land from the club would be to just incorporate it into our wetland management activities that we do on the refuge complex. And that includes the whole suite of public use, you know, hunting, wildlife observation, photography, environmental education, all the sorts of things that we do on our property. The one thing I will add, we heard a lot about grazing earlier in the meeting, and as a refuge, we actively manage, and I emphasize the word actively manage, the complex itself, and certainly Lower Klamath has really deep partnerships with our local agricultural producers. We farm the refuge quite extensively, up to 8,000 acres. We're allowed to do that under a specific act of Congress, the Kekal Act, which is unique to that piece of ground that we manage, that allows us, actually mandates us to do cooperative agriculture with local producers. So we have farming on the refuge, we have grazing activity on the refuge, all for used as management tools that provide habitat for wildlife and economic opportunity for local producers, most of which are sort of farmers that are just starting out. They don't have the backing or capital that, say, a larger producer has, but we offer land to them to farm, and they get to do it for free. The only ask is that they leave a portion of the grain crop, if it were, for wildlife benefit. I give you that as background. As Mr. Gillum just mentioned, the easement that's in place currently does not allow for that. It's 800 acres. It's essentially fallow right now and would not be able to be grazed or farmed. So essentially will sit fallow until somebody bought it. We have tools to manage it through other means. We actively manage our noxious weeds through mowing, disking, you know, other management tools besides grazing, and farming. And the hope is that we can, when our water situation improves, which there's a lot of initiatives in place right now, it's the property sets in a really good area to where when water comes through the hill, as we call it, through D plant, which it's pumped from one side of the ridge, the Tule Lake sumps, over to Lower Klamath. This is right near that outlet and that canal, the P canal. Not to give you too much of an alphabet soup, but it's something we could very easily incorporate into our active management that we're already doing on the refuge. So I know that was probably a lot, so I'll pause there for any questions you may have of me.
So, Supervisor Chris?
Yeah, I'll just jump in. Two things. One, there's a reason why this is before the Board of Supervisors. I believe it's called Migrant Bird Act.
Migratory Bird Treaty Act is the source of the funding.
Source of the funding. And under this, a county has to approve for this to be, that's why it's, of course, for the board. Because usually if you have a private purchase, it's between those private parties. So why is it before us? The only thing we've had before us is the Wildlife Conservation Board easements. We've had in the past, but that's why this is before us. Do you have any history of that? Why
my understanding is that it's the source of the funding, the Mike Bird Commission, requires the state, to lack of a better term, sign off on it. And my understanding is that in California, that's been delegated to the counties. And so that's where you all come into. Essentially, we would need your consent in order to access the funds that are available. And without that, we would not be able to access those funds and purchase the money.
Okay. I was trying to find out why that was. It's state approval and the state's delegated fees.
Yeah.
Or California delegated fees.
Supervisor Howe, any questions?
Yeah, not really. I think I know where this property is, but I'm not quite sure.
Yeah, do we have a map of any kind?
We don't available. We can
it's called Poverty Flat, if that will help you.
Yeah. It's on the very east side of Lower Klamath.
So how much of it is upland and how much is, doesn't it straddle the road?
No, it would. It's all floodable.
It's all floodable. Yeah. Okay. The questions I have are, crop production on this piece that would be subject to the receipts coming back to the county, I believe. And would this land fall under the current management plan or require a separate plan to be developed?
Yeah, so as it sits now, the easement that's in place that was purchased in 2005 would not allow any crop production. Those rights have been bought by the Natural Resource Conservation Service, which is a branch of the USDA. So they paid the club for those rights, save for, I think, 5% of the property, which the property is roughly 840 acres, can be grown in crops for food plot production for wildlife. So currently, there's not a mechanism to do agricultural production on there, like there is on our other parcels in the refuge.
So then there's no chance of
keep that funding. Yeah. Yeah.
No, because if there is the Kekalak is in place, and I believe the county receives funding, via that act. But this would, because there's no production that would be allowed on there, would not be generating very much funding outside of, public use dollars that, hunters and bird watchers and those sorts of folks that are using the land would bring to the parcel.
Yeah, but any fees generated by the public on that site, don't they go directly back to you and not?
Well, I guess I was speaking of, yes, if we do, we have a $12 a year hunt pass that comes to the refuge. There is, I guess I was speaking to, use of restaurants and gas stations and hotels that,
those are secondary.
Yeah, it's not direct.
Well, I don't favor any of these things. Purchases by the government, county. And this one's a complete loser for the county because there's no way for us to recoup any of the tax loss through the Kekalak. It's a tough one. Sorry for the situation that you're in. So if this doesn't go through today, then what do you think the future of the land is for you?
We have an aging population, and as far as our members go, we haven't had any income for 2 years. It's a zero. They have stopped paying. Ordinarily, what we do is we have our active hunters.
Well, you can let this speak, sorry.
Our active hunters and our active members pay $1,000 a year apiece to pay for our fixed cost, our fixed expenses every year. Mm-hmm. They knew that 2 years ago we were looking at selling, so they stopped paying. And right now we're taking money out of our savings account, paying our fixed expenses with that. When that is gone, we're gone. There's just nothing else we can do. I've explored every avenue that I know how to do, and requested some help from some other folks that know what they're doing, and they don't have any other thing that they can do either. We're stuck at this point.
I guess you lost your marketability with the land when you sold it to a conservation.
That was way before my time.
Well,
don't kill the messenger.
No, but I'm just saying. That's no fault of ours. That's where the value in the property is.
Exactly.
And gone.
Yeah, it's gone. Yeah.
So how does that, is that reflected in property tax value?
I don't know. We pay $5,500 a year in property tax.
Well, I understand, yeah, but I mean,
I don't know what that is.
If the land's not worth anything, I don't know why the taxes would be reduced on that.
It would be up to the property owner to appeal.
Yeah, you say, have you ever done a property assessment appeal or a...
No, we have not. Not to my knowledge.
Ask for a revised property.
Not while I've been current and present, no.
Because that is available. You can do that.
Yeah.
That would decrease it, but still, you know, we just don't have a membership that wants to hunt anymore. I mean, we had it 40 years, you know, plus or minus, but they're just aging out.
It looks like we've got a few public comments. Is it okay if we go to those first?
I do know that, go ahead to jump in. I do know that the USDA NRCS, I think, is going to explain the easement stuff. That specifically.
Is that who's up here? Maybe?
I can't guarantee you that's who they are, but I know that I asked them to be here because I knew there'd be questions on it from the board.
Okay. All right.
So, do you want to do this, Mr. Forrester?
Caller ending in 2355, you may unmute. It's your turn to speak.
Battery 100%.
Supervisors?
Good morning.
Good morning, Board of Supervisors. Can you hear me okay?
Yes.
Great, fantastic. My name is Dean Kwasny, DeanKwasny. And I'm the easement program manager for the Natural Resources Conservation Service. We are part of U.S. Department of Agriculture. This conservation easement, along with most of our conservation easements, was funded through the Farm Bill. As the landowner mentioned, it did close in 2005. It is a perpetual wetland conservation easement, and I just wanted to speak to the terms and conditions of the conservation easement and hopefully clear up a couple of misstatements that were made. I will say that the conservation easement does allow for management on the property, including compatible economic uses such as livestock grazing. There is a process in all of our conservation easements to grant those rights back to the landowner to allow the property to be managed through mowing, haying, grazing, herbicide spraying, disking, basically the whole gamut of management actions that might be taken by a landowner to be a good steward of the land. Many of those activities are geared towards fuel reduction, improving wildlife habitat, and controlling invasive weeds. We have about 300 of these easements in California. Most of them are held in private ownership, although there are several that have been purchased by the Bureau of Land Management, Fish and Wildlife Service, California Department of Fish and Wildlife, and as well as state parks. Most of our easements are actively managed through these compatible use authorizations. Typically, a management plan is put in place, and the landowner is allowed to conduct that sort of habitat management on their property. So there is quite a bit of flexibility, and I will say in other cases where the Fish and Wildlife Service holds or has purchased fee title, we have granted back those rights so that the Fish and Wildlife Service can continue to manage those properties for various reasons, including public uses such as hunting and fishing, as I mentioned before, fuels reduction, habitat management, invasive weed control. So in my discussions with the Fish and Wildlife Service to date, I think that it's our intention to continue to allow them to manage the property through a habitat management plan and move forward with, you know, that sort of continued management on the property. I also wanted to discuss briefly the difficulty of terminating these conservation easements. They are meant to be perpetual. There is a very large payback clause. It's a very difficult threshold to meet. Basically, you'd have to show that the property is no longer able to meet its original intentions as a conservation easement, and there would have to be a very strong and compelling public need. To date, we haven't terminated any of the easements in California. Most often these properties are sold through the open market, often to hunters that continue on the legacy of using them as a waterfowl hunting club. But as I mentioned, in some cases, the service or other public agencies has picked up these properties where it makes sense. Most often they are already adjacent to other public lands and can be incorporated into the management of those refuges and state wildlife areas. I think that's primarily what I wanted to cover, and I'm certainly happy to answer any questions you might have about the terms and conditions of the conservation easements or how these properties are managed or may be managed in the future. I appreciate your time and appreciate the opportunity to speak today. Thank you.
Thank you. For clarification, so that I understand correctly, I guess this reverting back to any type of agricultural activity is off the table through the conservation easement, or no?
No, you're correct. So putting it back into active farming is not considered a compatible use, although the easement does allow for a 5% limitation on food plots. These are wildlife food plots that can be agricultural in nature. Most often they're milo, millet, sometimes corn, safflower, but only 5% of the area can be used as a wildlife food plot. There's no similar limitation on livestock grazing or haying. Essentially, the entire area is opened up to those activities as long as they fit within the guidelines of a management plan and continue to meet the conservation purposes of the easement.
And so when they entered into this conservation easement, was there an exchange of funds or was there an exchange of how the property would be managed?
Correct. There was an exchange of funds. Typically, an appraisal is done to determine the value of the conservation easement. Generally, the value of the conservation easement may be anywhere from 40 to 75% of the fee title value, and the landowner was paid that full value for the conservation easement back in 2005.
What was that amount? Was it 40 or 75% or somewhere between? Can you give us some details?
You know, I don't have the appraisal in front of me. I would say most of the wetland easements, based on current times, are probably towards that upper end, just because so many of those rights are being retired by the landowner. Obviously, the farming rights are being retired, the development rights are being retired, and then there's really only limited uses that can occur out there. Most often, these properties are used for recreational purposes, and most often, they are hunt clubs.
So in essence, you paid for how the property was going to be future, like you say, perpetual. You basically bought out what could or could not be done future with this property, correct?
That's correct, yeah.
And we don't have an estimate of how much exchanged?
You have
it. Oh, you have it? I'm sorry. Okay. All
right. $1,242,000.
Thank you.
That's how much was paid, was 1 million?
Yeah. Okay. 1 million, two, roughly. Yeah. Supervisor Chris.
Question on that. It said in the white paper the $485,000, would that be the.
That was an error, I was told.
Oh, that's fine. Okay. Yeah, yeah, come on up. Yeah.
Okay. I was told years ago that it was $485,000, the payback would have been. That was an error. The payback would be $1,242,420. We don't have that.
Right.
And I don't know whether they just bought beer with it or if they just frittered it away. We don't have that money anyway at this point. But that's how much it was.
In 2005?
Yes.
Right.
So, Professor Howe, do you want to outline, could this, could your service procurement include that cost to buy back the rights to fund?
Well, the offer, we have an offer to buy the rest of the rights for in fee, which I believe is north of $1 million currently. And we're held to appraised value, which is what it appraised at, and that's the full appraisal value.
Could you request termination?
Of the easement?
Mm-hmm.
I don't believe so. I mean, we would have to enter into like as Dean mentioned, an agreement with NRCS to you know, reinstitute haying and grazing, you know, for wildlife benefit and need, which we could do. You know, that's just and just developing a plan, you know, with NRCS that they sign off on that meets habitat habitat needs. And I think we're in a good position to do that because we're not, we wouldn't be entering into that agreement to make money. It would be to provide habitat, which fits with the nature of the easement, to maximize, you know, waterfowl production and use. So.
Sure. I mean, to get my support on this, I'd be looking at some form of proactive stance on the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service's part to help recoup the cost of tax loss. Placing it under the same type of crop management as we have in the rest of the refuge.
Yeah, and we would have to work with NRCS once we, you know, would have the property, obviously, but we can't enter into those agreements until it's our property, and then we could start to go down the road of developing a habitat management plan that would include food plots, you know, haying and grazing to reduce thatch, and it's. This isn't unique. We do this on all of our other units, you know, immediately adjacent to it. So that's how we manage land. I will say, too, just on the converse, if this whole thing falls apart, I mean, the land's going to sit there fallow. It's going to grow weeds. It's going to go grow grasshoppers that we won't be able to treat, which, just as a side note, we're actively treating, you know, grasshoppers on Lower Klamath because of the massive outbreak we had last year because of the drought conditions. So this would be sort of almost an inholding that would be unmanaged, you know, fully without somebody taking it on.
Anything further, Supervisor?
Well, yeah, have stuff further. I was going to bring that up. I did appreciate the refuge's proactiveness. I know that the Klamath office there had to eat it within its budget. It was quite a sizable amount of money. They had to eat, actually doing treatments and those sorts of factors out there. I think probably everyone saw the flavor of the board earlier when we were talking about private properties and the BLM right now with the potential for grazing and those sorts of factors. Also appreciate that every effort was made for the private property owners to try to sell there. When you look at the private property owners, the assessed value for that ground is actually a pretty decent deal for if it could be active farming on it. One of the questions I had for the gentleman that was on, was it Dean?
Dean?
Yes. Dean? There's a little explanation of the compatible uses.
Go ahead. I think
he's still on.
I'm not sure.
I just asked him to unmute.
Okay. I just want to confirm he's on first before I ask him. Don't ask him.
Yeah, I am on. Would you mind repeating the question?
No problem. I wanted to make sure you were on before I asked, so you're just on the board. So the compatible uses, is there any chance that for a compatible use, that when you talk about haying, is it the natural vegetation that's there, or is it the, does it include alfalfa planting or grain crops?
Yeah, good question. No, it would be the natural vegetation. So any sort of wetland vegetation or grassland vegetation that exists currently on the property could be hayed.
All right. That's the flexibility on it. Okay. And then for the grazing, is there flexibility on that for whatever animal would want to graze it? Cattle, sheep, whatever?
Yes, there is, correct. It could include cattle, could include sheep, could include goats. As part of that management plan development, you know, the type of animal is identified, as well as the number of AUM, the duration, the intensity, the timing, that all gets put into a grazing management plan that then becomes the foundation for that compatible use authorization. So there is flexibility there.
All right, on the grazing aspect of it. And then I see in the different people you've approached with the, or approached you with the California Waterfowl Association?
Yes.
And the Modoc Indian Tribe?
The Modoc, yes.
Did they make an offer or anything? Or?
No, they weren't able to get back to us by the time for the general meeting that we had last October.
All right.
And I've had no further contact from them at all.
All right, all right. For me, my ideology, I look at an area called the Meese Ranch. I assume the Butte Valley Wildlife Refuge. So that was ground that actually my family farmed in the 60s, 50s, 60s, and 70s. And it was farmed by us. I would have been three when we got off. But it paid taxes, it paid employees, and it provided habitat for all the wildlife. This is a state agency, not a federal. But the California Fish and Wildlife, California Fish and Game at the time, were the only ones that had the money that could buy it at the price. Here I recognize you look for private as much as possible. But at that state, the state was the deep pockets and it just paid a lot for it. So it bought it, and then it doesn't pay taxes, has to pay people to farm it, and what can do, you know, so much would add a job on it. And so that ideology is well ingrained in me, unfortunately, or fortunately, however you want to phrase it. There was plum trees on it that were historical there. And the first thing the California Fish and Game did was bulldoze them all down because they didn't want people out there. It was not well received by the locals. They were pissed off by it, but they had the power and they said they would work with them. And then it's a very short part of the spot. That subject. I have to separate that here, of course, and look at it from just wanting to give you a background of ideology here. This is actually a very tough issue. Very tough issue. So I respect the private property rights, I respect the situation you're in. Every effort was made to sell the private property guys. You have my commitment to support you in that regard. And this is not to bash the federal government either. So as I recognize, the federal government is treating the grasshoppers, and you also allowed for the sucker fish that were there on the lakes, the dam to come into the refuge. Also working on the habitat, the lease lands. I was talking to what had been your predecessor about ground around the refuge headquarters, and he said, "Yeah, it's just better for us to pay somebody to farm it than for us to do it on our own." So that's a equipment payment for that farmer to be able to farm the ground out there. I'm not talking about Kekalak land, but land that's farmed for habitat. You just pay the farmer to do it, and that's equipment loan and all sorts of payments. Right now, we passed a resolution back in 2013. It was a 4-1 vote. I supported it, and I think that the best policy is to support that resolution and the stance on that resolution. I know it's a tough thing to take for you guys, but I know we passed that for the land purchase for this reason. I don't like, it seems to be boxed in too, and this could be a predecessor for future boxing ends. NRCS does this contract and it boxes us in on that. I do know the Fish and Wildlife Service and the counties are working on the flow-through project. For you guys, that's you guys won't worry, but it's just to go through the project out through the wetlands, have it treated in cleaner water to reach the actual river. And unfortunately, what the Duck Club Club's facing is something that's faced by all the agriculture as well in Klamath County. That difficult aspect of, and the forestry guys were faced with a spotted owl 40 years ago. So this is the issues they deal with. So you guys, what my stance is on it. If anyone has more questions or anything, I would naturally allow for more questions.
So I just remind us, there isn't an action item, it's basically a direction, so that we're aware of that.
I have a couple more questions. One, what's the legal trigger in the Migratory Treaty Act
brings this before this board.
Natalie Reed, County Council. To be honest with you, the materials that were provided for this agenda really didn't, I don't think, alert council or the public that that was the trigger that was bringing it before the board. It looked like it was just your resolution regarding coordination. So I have not reviewed that.
Because, you know, there are lots of transactions that take place where the Migratory Tree Act should be in effect. I draw attention to the dam decommissioning and the sale of those lands up there that definitely affect migratory birds, and why that's never come to the board. That's what I'm struggling with here. Where's this?
I think that I won't know the exact nexus there, but because the dams may have affected migratory birds, but there wasn't migratory bird funding that was being brought to bear, I don't believe, to remove dams. It is being brought, it's the source of funding to purchase this property, which started this trigger. And in our realty folks, you know, these are common funds that we use to purchase land. And as they went through the realty process, that's where this issue arose, where we had to get state buy-off, but in California, apparently that's been delegated to counties, or maybe that's the wrong term. They just want the feedback or consent of the county in question to check that box.
Well, if there ever is an accounting that's not damnable, we'll maybe be able to answer that question whether or not there is migratory bird money in that.
Yeah.
I don't think I can tell us that right now. Same way with Horseshoe Ranch.
Is that it?
Yeah,
was nice enough to put it on our plates.
I just, I feel for the landowner, but it's, you're asking me to violate a policy here that my district is more like 90% of the land base is in public property and it's not managed, and I just can't swallow this.
Supervisor Chris.
Just before I ask, is there a PM? I don't know if that's Viola or who that could be, but
yeah, I was just
getting. Oh, sorry. Okay. Had a better angle, but over here, sitting on the end.
Caller ending in 1183. You may unmute. It's your turn to speak.
Good morning.
Hi, good morning. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Good morning, Board of Supervisors. This is Viola Randall, and I am the Fish and Wildlife Service Realty Specialist, and I just wanted to share a couple things that came up during the discussion, and one of them was about the Migratory Bird Conservation Commission of funding that we did apply for to purchase this property, and so I wanted to share that, you know, this particular property was not originally in the refuge boundary, but was put into the refuge boundary in 1999, which did come with the consent of the county at that time, but we understand that with the change in times that you guys, you know, filed this resolution, which we were not aware of until we went to go get the funding to get approval. I also wanted to mention that, you know, we have been, as was mentioned, we have been working with, Fish and Wildlife Service has been working with Spring and Honker, the Duck Club for years, and they have just been doing a fabulous job as a duck club. And just like was mentioned, you know, if you stand at the refuge, you really can't see where it stops and the club starts, because they've been doing a great job in what they're doing. And you know, the refuge and or Fish and Wildlife Service has been in contact with them, you know, from 1999, that we are interested, that if you guys are going to sell, when you're ready to sell, you know, we don't want to force anybody into, you know, purchase the Fish and Wildlife Service, you know, buying their land. You know, that's not our intent. But when we have a willing landowner, that is when we approach the landowner and go through the process of getting the property appraised, which I will mention that value, the offer that we made, does include that easement. You know, they take an account for the cost of that easement on the rights that have been already taken away from the property. So with that, I just, you know, wanted to share that information, and I'm happy to answer any questions that I might be able to answer.
S- So just for clarification, on our no net loss policy, I think that's sent out every year by the clerk. Is that correct?
Yes, it is.
So it's been going out every year since that time.
Since 08.
08.
We had originally one in 08 and then another one in 13.
Right. So that, I, you know, I don't know where they get filed once they're sent out to the agencies, but we do our due diligence.
They are mailed hard copies.
Yes.
Oh, no, I wasn't questioning that. I'm just saying, in our realty office and in, you know, when we are contacting landowners, willing landowners, it does not come down to our realty level yet. That's when you have an agency like we have.
I got it.
It takes a lot to get to where we're at.
So, I have another public comment. Okay. You want to come on it?
Yeah.
Kevin?
So my question is to
wait
over
till
here.
You get over there so we have you on tape and
we need your name for the record.
Your fingerprints and everything.
State
your name first. Go ahead.
My name is Kevin Levy. My question is for Ken Graves in regards to what he plans to do with the 840 acres. As an upland game bird hunter, I have seen a much decline in Lower Klamath and the Tule Lake area. Last year, it was a cluster. So I'm just curious of just gonna, what kind of hunting is this going to be open to? You know, you have any idea where this is going to go? Because it's a mess over there now.
He needs to address
it. Yeah, and you need to address it through.
Okay, so I'm sorry.
I'll bring him back up, but is that it? That it on your question? That's it?
Yes.
Okay, all right, then I'll bring them back up and we'll get an answer to it.
Yeah, so the cluster that he referred to is, I mean, that's largely driven by water. I mean, it is, it's a 50,000 acre wetland refuge that was essentially bone dry last year. So that's, as an upland bird hunter, as he mentioned, pheasants are largely, you know, a wetland species. Any restoration we do for them is often associated with wetlands because of, you know, brood production and all-spirited biology. But that lack of habitat, you know, wetland habitat also affects all species. And so not having water doesn't just affect waterfowl, it affects upland birds as well. So the other part of his question, I believe, was what would we do with this parcel? And obviously we don't have it yet, but should we be able to acquire it? It would be folded in with our normal hunting management. We have, depending on the water availability, whether it be waterfowl hunting only, pheasant hunting only, it just depends on the availability of water. But it wouldn't be, because of where it's located, it wouldn't be tied into a sanctuary area or anything like that. It's in sort of a southern zone. It has access to water when water is coming through the deep plant. So it would be folded into our normal hunt planning and that varies year to year just based on water availability.
Thank you. So I guess where I'm at on this is that as much as this board has supported conservation easements in the past because it's a private owner's decision, this is kind of, you know, this is coming back to bite now. And, you know, essentially NRCS bought the property at $1.2 million. Where that went, I can't help, but it's kind of interesting now. We're at a place where basically we're locked into something that can't be done, and yet there was benefit paid. I don't know how else to say that. I know this is a no action item. We're basically giving direction, but unless there was some way that could bear out that there is no net loss to county revenue on this, you know, I could not support it. There's ways through the Keekle Act, or there could be ways through the Keekle Act that could even increase that property tax base if ag was allowed as part of this. Because I think currently we get, I'm going to throw it out there, $460,000 roughly. General fund dollars off of wetland for refuge ag now. Expanding that, you have my attention. Short of that, you don't, because you know, between state and federal agencies that are buying up land in Siskiyou County, we're not going to be able to survive. I get the intent, but I'd have to see something more solid that produces, you know, revenue to the county that is a no-net loss. It's a bottom line.
Yeah, so, if I may, just one
sure.
final plea. You know, even if we're unable to farm, you know, this piece of property, if it was in wetland production or upland production, that would free up other areas to where, you know, we have a maximum acreage of 8,000 acres that we can farm on Lower Klamath, you know, under the Keekal Act,
mm-hmm.
which, as you mentioned, directly translate into funds
right.
for the county. So it potentially adds to our land base, which then allows us to move other areas into production that would other be wetland and just increase our rotation that we have. So I know that's not a hard and fast plan.
I know, but if you had some type of a plan like that to bear out that there's no net loss to the county and actually a net gain, because I think that's what would happen under the Keekal Act, then you'd have my attention and probably the rest of the board. But I think that's what we're up against. I'm kind of interested to see what happens if they are not able to sell and NRCS has this easement, then what happens? Do they work with you folks to figure out a way through this, or what happens then?
Well, if the easement stays with the property.
Right, right.
And if it defaults or whoever
right.
obtains the property, it stays with it. So
yeah.
I'm not going to speak for Mike. And
right,
with
right.
That.
I understand.
Yeah.
So go ahead.
Just
a joke. I'm going to try to wrap up here.
Yeah,
so.
I know. I would want to raise with this because it's a huge issue for me and my district with our ag lands.
Mm-hmm.
But it's important to note, I think, that in listening to this, the type of conservation easement that was purchased here was basically a preservation easement where all of your rights to do anything have been removed, which is different than some of the conservation easements we have in the county where it's actually a perpetuation of the ag resource on the
yeah,
property
yeah.
Where they're still in production. The only thing they can't do is develop it, you know, for a condominium or a golf course or something like that. So it's very different. And it's this other one that's more insidious from a tax-based standpoint in the county that unfortunately you're involved in. The only other question I have, I'm just curious, and it doesn't really change my mind, but what happened, were the water rights associated with this piece of property and were they sold with the conservation easement? How did that?
It's my understanding that we do not have any water rights. We get water from the Lower Klamath Refuge. When it comes through the P Canal, they allow us 5%.
But you have an allocation.
We have only if they have enough on the refuge to allow us to do it. There many times the hunting season will be on for 2 weeks, for example. We're still dry. We have no water, and then they have enough water over in Unit 10 or whatever. And then they say, okay, now you can get your 5%. And so then we start. But there apparently are no water rights that actually go with this property.
Supervisor Chris?
Yeah, thanks. I'm going to close things up here. The team's all right.
Mm-hmm.
I want to say, do you recognize the I've sent people over to the refuge headquarters for the walking trail right now.
Yeah.
Do you recognize the good the refuge does, the deals there? Even though I told that private story in the past about East Lake, I have to separate that. I just give that as an example. But for me, it really is the resolution knowing that loss of taxes. Today we're doing our budget. As you see, it teeters, and we had to take a 5% cut across the board, basically. So I have to look at that aspect to it. For the Wildlife Conservation Board easements that we've approved in the past, like Supervisor Hopps said, that was to continue agriculture in those grounds, those easements. To let you know, so for county policy, the county, during my time on the board, all three of our time on the board, we've actually sold land to put it into the market for the free market sector to work. So it's actually something we do with our own county property too. We support private for the landowners there, some of them are constituents. I'm committed to you guys to find a path forward, even though this is going to go the way it's going to go today. So feel free to keep in contact. I'll keep in contact with some of you searching for potential buyers or those sorts of things as well. I'm not going to drop the ball on you guys and have you walk out with all this burden on your shoulders. We asked for this, so I'll be happy to help with that aspect of it.
Well, thanks for your time and consideration.
One more public comment out there. Come on up.
Just speak.
Can you tell
me that? Oh, sorry.
State your name first.
Good morning. Oh, it is still morning.
Yeah.
I'm Gina Coleridge, and I'm a member of Klamath Spring and Hunter Club. There was a comment about the money that we received. A lot of that money went back into improvement of the property, hundreds of thousands of dollars. So that money just didn't go poof away. So I just wanted to make that clarification.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay. Do you need a break, Ms. Wendy?
Yes, I'd like to take a minute or two.
Okay, we'll take five.
Thank you.